Good morning and welcome back to the morning edition of the Cromwell Ag Radio Network. I'm Jeff Nally, and Matt Bennett is with us this morning of Bennett Consulting. Matt, how do you, when you're on this tour and you're driving across the, you know, you're in your tour route and you're on your road, how do you pick which field you're going to? And do you go, if the field is a mile long, do you walk a half a mile into it? Or how do you pick the spot you're going to run to?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. You know, the first thing that I would say is that, you know, each route, there's 10 different routes, on the western leg that I'm on, and the routes do not change. They're the same every year to try to keep a consistent flow of information. And we don't pick the same fields by any stretch of the imagination, but what we're encouraged to do is that in each county that you're in, you want to try to pull two samples. And during the day, you want to run at least 10 to 15 miles before you pull your next sample. Now, sometimes you get in a rather large county. There was a couple of counties in Iowa yesterday that we could have pulled five samples using that methodology. But the bottom line is you don't want to pull two samples side by side, first of all. And second of all, you want to be in a very consistent sort of situation where you're picking, you're not trying to cherry pick fields. You're not trying to pick poor fields. You're simply looking at the odometer on your vehicle. And once you get to that point, you start looking for an area where you can grab both a corn and a bean yield.
So I'm thinking about this. There are some fields in dry years that the dirt down next to the creek is going to be a lot better than the dirt up on top of the hill in terms of yield, vice versa in opposite years. So how in the world can we say, given the variability, that we're getting an accurate sample, either from the Midwestern tour or from the Department of Agriculture, if this crop is as variable as it is? It tells me we're going to have to get all the way to the end of the season, and heck, perhaps even January, before we really get a handle on how big this rascal really is. Am I close or am I just on a grandstand here?
No, I mean, you're exactly right. I think of all the years that, you know, this is the fourth year that I've been on the tour. I've been watching crop sizes, though, for, you know, the last 15, 20 years pretty closely. And, you know, I don't know that I remember a year that was this variable. And so, you know, a lot of folks, for instance, have said, how in the world can we have a crop this large, with some of the issues that we've had this year? And one thing that I will point out is where a person did get the rain, some of the yields that they're churning out with some of these genetics in this day and age are beyond anything that any of us have ever produced. And so, yeah, did we run into some 240 and 50 bushel yields on the tour? Absolutely. I think some folks actually had a little bit higher than that on occasion. But then at the same time, you have a situation where we had several sub 100 bushel yields in Nebraska, Iowa, and South Dakota in my vehicle. So, you know, there's so much variability. But bottom line is it's one of these situations where you have to stay consistent, use the same methodology every year. And you have to ask your scouts, please use good judgment. We don't want you to be trying to pick the best spots or the worst spots. We simply want you to follow the methodology given to you and carry that out in a fair way.
So I'm thinking about the forecast and the weather that we have received and then the weather that looks to be ahead. August has given us some moderate temperatures. Daytime's not as hot. The night times have been down in the 50s. And we're pretty far south compared to Minnesota and South and North Dakota. How important are heat units from here on, especially as we look at that soybean crop?
Yeah, I mean, heat units are very important. I mean, we've got to understand that we've got to get this crop to maturity. And, I mean, this is a very concerning situation for a lot of folks, especially in northern Illinois, into the Dakotas, Minnesota, Wisconsin. So many of those folks are saying, hey, what in the world are we going to have as far as, are we going to be able to get to black layer? Are we going to have enough time? And so, you know, there's certainly a lot of concern there. And I think that a person has to understand that if we have a normal frost or anything even before that, there's going to be some serious situations, And so just because it's cool right now does not necessarily indicate we are at risk for a frost. But the thing is that we're not maturing the crop. And that's concerning not only as far as the corn is concerned to get it dry. dried down. But second of all, for the soybean crop, you know, even if you have plenty of moisture, it's proven that you need a fair amount of heat to go ahead and fill pods and to get the transpiration process to work. And so bottom line, you're going to have a little bit of heat in here, which is going to play havoc on this crop. It reminds me a lot of 2009 right now. In 2009, we had a horrific situation as far as what kind of crop that we ended up having and how it kept and what the quality of it was, simply because we couldn't get it dried down.
Okay, let's head toward the point rows on this then. And maybe I'm still, there's enough farmer in me that just wants to be bullish, okay? So forgive me if I have that thought. But at the same time, here's Illinois under the average by about 8 bushels. Indiana under the average, at least 2. Ohio, we mentioned at least 7 under. Iowa, mighty Iowa, almost 9 bushels an acre under what the USDA said. And still, this corn market is flatline. What keeps the trade from grabbing this and saying, hey, something's going on?
Well, what keeps the trade in that situation is that you've got more old crop stocks coming into this new crop than what we've seen in a long, long time. And so there's a significant amount of hedge pressure coming into a time of year where a producer's got to make the decision. You know, and the decision is, do I want to go ahead and re-up on my storage, or do I want to go ahead and move this corn? A lot of them have chosen to move the corn, and it's provided a ton of headwinds on this market. The other thing we have to remember is that whenever you have this much corn, you know, basis is going to be pretty wide. You know, the elevator knows that this crop is going to end up coming to town, and, you know, bottom line is it's just done nothing but basically provide a headwind that has made it almost impossible to see the type of rally that we'd all like to see.
Okay, so now let's look at today, counting then into a new month, and soon surveys that will be taking place by the Department of Agriculture, and a September crop report coming up. What happens to this market between here and there? Sideways grind?
You know, I think between here and there, you're probably going to have something sideways. I don't think that you're going to get too many of your bottom pickers just yet. They're going to be trying to pick a bottom in this corn market, you know, and buy it, hoping that it's going to go back up. I think that that will come at some point. I don't know that it's going to be just yet. But bottom line is we've got to look at several different things when we're talking about corn. First of all, you know, is this soybean crop as light as what some people might think that it is? You know, looking at a Farm Journal type tour, you know, with pod counts as low as what they are, that is one thing that could significantly put a huge shot in the arm for the corn market, is if you could get the soybean market fired up, because I think a couple of things are going to go on there. First of all, corn will follow it to an extent, but second of all, there is going to be a conversation that's going to start before too awful long about what acreage is going to look like this next year, because a lot of decisions are going to be made here before too long once people harvest the 17 crop as far as what they're going to plan. So there's no question that a strong soybean market is going to do nothing but basically support the corn market.
So time tells, at least at this point, and certainly the extended weather models, maybe not about being too hot, but even about being too cold. Matt, glad you're back home. Glad you had the opportunity to be on the tour, and we certainly appreciate your insight this morning. Folks, if you'd like to talk to Matt Bennett about what he saw, if you'd like to talk about your marketing plan, your risk management strategy, give Bennett Consulting a call. Matt's at 254-2713, 254-2713, area code 217. I'm Jeff Dowling. This is the Morning Edition on the Cromwell Ag Radio Network.